Empire of the Summer Moon and the Cusp of Change. For me, history depicted in the Empire of the Summer Moon is among the saddest in America. Though I didn't expect a different outcome, the story isn't easier to accept. Author S. C. Gwynn provides ample background about geography, sociology, and history of a cultural collision that rocked this region for decades. Even today, we deal with the ripple effects Frederick Jackson Turner might attribute to his frontier thesis, explaining these incidents made our nation what it is. Initial chapters establish the difficulties of life beyond the 98th meridian, where forested land turns to prairie, unprotected from searing summer winds and blue northers that dramatically alter landscapes within minutes. Gwynn knows it's critical for the reader to understand that in any story about the Great Plains, landscape and weather function as antagonists capable of destroying the unprepared. Add to these natural agents of change a native horse culture that turned buffalo-rich prairie into a land of abundance it didn't want to share. Instantly, you see elements of tragedy that compare to Shakespeare's best work. This is Gwynn's story of the Comanche on the southern plains of the 1800s. Like many worthy tales, this one is complex with surprising and not so surprising political manipulations to prevent competing European powers from intruding into their new world trade. Spanish authorities, who couldn't defeat these warriors, instead encouraged Comanche dominion across what became West Texas. The artificial buffer delayed advancing settlement for decades. After laying groundwork regarding topography and partisan issues, Gwynn introduces individuals who breathe life into this story. Details about the kidnapping of Rachel Plummer and Cynthia Parker and their contradictory treatments rivet readers. In highly politicized language, Gwynn shares gruesome particulars about Comanche captives and victims tortured or killed outright. It's understandable why incoming settlers reconsidered relocating to this region. In retaliation against outrages, Texans formed the Rangers, a fighting force that successfully borrowed strategies from the Indians they battled. The author shares heroic and not so heroic incidents to humanize men Hollywood later turned into legends. He explains how Rangers' use of the Colt Walker advanced firearm technology prior to and throughout the Civil War. His no-gloss approach helps the reader see that eventual settlement was a two-step forward, one-step back dance. Turner's quote, "The existence of an area of free land, its continuous recession, and the advance of American settlement westward," effectively described Texas during those years. Gwynn counterbalances settlers' reactions to Indian assaults with descriptions of Native responses to ranger and military attacks. Warriors fought guerrilla engagements against traditionally trained opponents with the ultimate goal to drive intruders from their land and to protect their elderly, women, and children. Repeatedly, our author depicts Comanche warriors fighting last-ditch efforts to ensure loved ones' safety. To some readers' surprise, he reveals that longtime captive Cynthia Parker was not relieved when Sol Ross rescued her. Instead, she unceasingly mourned her dead husband and vanished sons. Not every captive wanted to return to long-lost families. Few living or traveling on the southern plains have not heard about Cynthia's son, Quanah Parker. If you reside in western Oklahoma or west Texas, this name is as common as that of Custer in Kansas. Southwestern State Oklahoma University officials titled Parker Hall after him. Quanah, Texas was named for this memorable historical figure. Gwen captures the intrigue surrounding this man born of a white mother and Comanche chief in the final years of an empire. It didn't hurt that Quanah was intelligent, brave, charismatic, and handsome. He understood rules he could break and those he couldn't. Once military genius, Ronald McKenzie drove this fierce Comanche chief and his people to ground in Palo Duro Canyon, Parker recognized his world had changed, and he adapted. He acquired the skills of a successful cattleman and looked out for his own as well as tribal interests. He had his now friend, McKenzie, teach him acceptable manners, enough so that Charles Goodnight commented on them after sharing a meal with Quanah. Though he never gave up his plaited hair, he dressed in professional woolen suits. Despite the many white customs he accepted, he refused to give up his multiple wives. In addition, he practiced and promoted peyote religion to the end of his life. The interwoven complexities of landscape, politics, and culture engage readers throughout Empire of the Summer Moon.